Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome aboard.
Ahoy.
It is not Isaac and Sook. It is Buck and Sook, an SOB edition of Prime Time today. Sook, Ortner, and Buckley here. Isaac still in Las Vegas, hopefully avoiding the COVID strain and whatever other nefarious things make it into his system there. Yeah. But we remain and we will party today.
Got a little frog in the old throat.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you okay? We were discussing some Arizona after effects for you, but it didn't include whatever that was.
No, I'm starting to get... I felt much better today. The vision's starting to come back a little bit. You know, we're settling in this routine. But yeah, I got a little frog. Now I'm all worried because Schultz was spreading whatever god-awful disease he had. So I'm just... Like, I'm always, like, hyper-vigilant now. Like,
yeah,
yesterday I had to leave the show because he was vomiting everywhere.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be back to do the Hot Corner show tonight.
He's not. That is me.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of Will Ortner for the rest of the day.
A lot of Will Ortner.
Okay, okay.
Well, good thing.
I was asked.
Well, you're in the puke chair now, so enjoy that. I hope everyone disinfected.
I did my best to disinfect it yesterday. There was a little...
Being sick is a choice. Have we learned nothing from Coach Lanning? And I'm just going to choose not to be sick.
Well, I think Schultz's bubble guts had other plans.
But yeah, if you got bubble guts, and like especially if it's coming both ends, like there's nothing you can do about it. I will give Schultz credit. Dude, that guy tried to puke and rally.
Yeah, he tried to hang in there.
Like, I'll tell you right now, I've been doing this for 21 years. If I throw up, and I do try to, believe it or not, like... Rop is of the... I heard Sprague talking about this today. They were talking about like when the snow and ice hit, because apparently we got some... we got a little wintry mix coming.
That's right. It coming as early as Friday.
Yeah.
We know the precipitation's coming. The question is, will we get some sort of ice hell again?
So those guys get job because they have to come in at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yep.
So you're getting like the worst of the worst road conditions, right?
Because nothing's been totally taken care of yet.
No, and the sun hasn't even come up yet. You still got the frozen stuff. They get
it's dark.
They
it's
get the worst commit. We get the bad half of it because we can get to work usually okay, because by then, you know, it's
been sunny, it's been maintained, like the maintenance people have been out.
But then the sketchy deal is a lot of times by the time we're getting ready to go home at 7:15, 7:30, you're back to oh my god. But they have the worst. And Sprague was saying he has officially reached the point of when it's bad, he just isn't coming in.
Yeah.
And I remember, see, Will's in the old Sprague mode. Will and Dirt used to be like the plucky go-getters that they're coming in no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? And we've all
had that. I used to do that with the morning show, too, because I did it with Dusty and Cam, and there were times I was coming from the windy roads of Wilsonville. I was still living at my mom's. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but like someone's got to push those buttons, so I'll be there.
Yeah, Klondike Will Ordner will not miss a show. Like
That's how this started. Was an ice storm hit me? Would you sleep here or something?
Well, that was a different time. Yeah. We're going to let a little bit of ice beat me. I'm not letting Mother Nature be my master.
I was dominating about that.
I was proud of the fact that Sprague today was like, just so everyone knows, when it's bad, I'm not coming in.
I'm just not going to be here.
And that's me. I am not. If there is a chance that my car is sliding off a bridge, and I'll tell you what, that one guy that was coming from Vancouver into Portland, he owned I think it was a Mexican restaurant. And remember, they had plowed all the snow on the 205 bridge, the Glen Jackson. And if you've ever seen that, they plow everything and it basically forms like a big snowbank. My man slid out and Peter Panned off the bridge.
Hmm.
It acts as you're like Dukes of Hazzard. You Thelma and Louise that son of a bitch right into the Columbia.
Oh, dear.
Once that happened, I'll tell you right now, if there is pile-up snow on the bridge, guess who's not coming in under any circumstances?
That would be Sook.
That's not happening. Look, I love my job. And yes,
give you no cookie.
I have a pretty good work ethic. Rob, Rob could be like, ooh, seems a little windy out. We're not doing it. I do have a little bit of the old football in me where you don't miss work.
Yeah, Rob could probably parlay this record dry spell we're on and being like, you know, next time the water comes down, the roads will probably be slick. I don't think it's safe for me to be out.
I do have a vague recollection of getting absolutely screamed at by you because I came in and then you had to come in.
Yeah, like there's just, like, there is
I do want that clear.
There is a certain point where, like, it is not worth putting anyone in danger. Rob goes to the extreme one way or the other. I feel like I've settled into the middle, but the young, plucky guys, they'll come in no matter what. And I love that Sprague said he's officially in Dirt's on board. We're not doing it. The one guy who's different is Swag's been here like 70 years.
And he's still got that. Hell or high water, I'll do it.
Swag's like, the people need me. Dude, no, they don't. They'll be fine.
Well, I remember during COVID, we all got the little official documents to go to our cars that said we were essential employees. And some people take that real serious when you're essential.
I think Swag has that letter framed and just keeps it up in his like office at home. So when he wakes up, he's like, yeah, essential personnel. But Schultzy is of that ilk where,
oh yeah,
him and Will, because they're like it's like the young crew. They will not be deterred, and the fact that Schultzy threw up three times before he told us yesterday. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. And by the way, he was very apologetic and
he was really sorry on his way out the door. I'm like, dude, you don't need to be sorry for feeling like ass.
And by the way, he was kind of asking permission.
Yeah.
Schultzy was like, hey, guys.
It wasn't like I got to go. It's like, I just want to let you guys know what's happening back here. And like, I had to cut him loose. Be like, go,
Schultzy,
dude.
Go. He had once, I can't say what, Schultzy had a major family thing. Like, major. Not telling his business, but it was one of those like, what in the hell? And he's like, hey guys, I'm gonna try to make it in, but I may be a few minutes late. You're like, what? No, you're not.
Yeah.
Stay home. And he's like, well, I don't want to let you down.
You won't be letting us down.
You're not letting us down. You just had a major, major family thing happen. Stay home. He's throwing up three times. I'll tell you right now, if I have a verp, you know that little vomit burp that comes up a little bit, I'm like, hey, guys, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to probably get out of here. I had that the other day when I was hungover. I was like, I don't know, man. This is a little rough. I'm just saying, I don't feel that well. If I have to go to the bathroom during the break and take care of something, I may pull the plug on this. But it's hilarious to see, like, Schultzy, who is just Schultzy and Will no matter what. The Klondike Will Ordner, he's just, I don't care. And he's got like an 88 Accord. He's like, I don't care. I'll find a way to get in.
2016 Toyota Camry.
2016 Toyota Camry.
Yes,
so Schultz's vomiting and is like, I'm here, guys. I'm here.
I'll be ready.
I got this.
So Ordner, the story, the Klondike story, though, is that you were what? You were close enough and was who couldn't make it that you said I can still make it?
No, what happened was there was like a pilot game and
he did it for the pilots. That's right.
No, and then I did the morning show. So there was a pilot game, and Swag had asked if I could get in, and I said, I can get there, but I can't necessarily get back.
And there it is, yeah.
Because it was like an 8 o'clock game, and he was like, well, maybe we can do some stuff so that you can do the morning show as well. And I was like, eh, whatever.
Oh, my God.
You guys are going to pay me. Well, I needed a lot more money then. I was at home and I needed to get
out. The idea of saying, hey, Sook, do you want to work late and then just sleep there and wake up and sleep again?
You could just stay there. You don't have to go home.
I would give anything, and I mean this, I would pay good money to hear someone tell Isaac Ropp that. Hey, Rob, we're going to need you to do...
And be completely serious.
Completely serious. Hey, like, I know your show ends at 7, and the snow's coming, so we can't do... We need Ducks Roundtable, and the guys can't make it in, so we're going to need you to stick around for Ducks Roundtable. And I get it. By then, it's going to be 9 o'clock, and the roads are going to be bad, so here's what we're going to do. Just have you sleep at the station, and then wake up and do Dirt and Spring show in the morning. I would give anything to hear someone... pitch that idea, and not even pitch the idea, tell Rob that, like, as his superior, this is what we're doing. That you could film that and that would go viral instantly.
You and I have sat in a meeting in which we were given directives of something that was going to start happening, and Rob's direct response was, like, basically to tell the bosses to go jump in a lake.
It was,
and it was nowhere near the scale of please spend the night at the station.
And by the way, this is a true story. We were sitting in a meeting, and there was an edict that came down about something that was going to be done. And so me and Buck are in there with Rob,
kind of nodding. We're almost taking notes. Along. Like,
and yes, it seemed to be quite silly, but you know, we were told this is something that is serious, and you're going to do.
If that's what's got to happen, it's what's got to happen.
So this meeting goes on for about 20 minutes. Not a word is uttered from one Isaac Ropp. He's just sitting in the corner. The only people that have spoken is the powers that be and me and Buckley.
Ask some questions for clarification here and there.
Ask some questions, get some clarifications.
Ropp's just kind of half spinning in his chair.
Yeah, just like not paying attention. And the end of this meeting, right? So it's we're getting ready to be done. We figured, hasn't said a word. And I forget the exact nature of it, but they kind of... alluded, hey, Rob, are you okay with all this?
I think it was presented as, this isn't asking this time. Like, I'm telling you, this is how it's going to be.
And Rob's response, which we have to edit because there was a colorful word or two that was put in there that we can't say on the air. Dead serious. He looked at this and said, this is so effing dumb, I'm not doing it. And we were all just like, well, and by the way, then the meeting ended.
And so we're like, and so Sook and I are like, so what do we have to do?
Yeah. It just ended. And then he just pulled the rope and he just got up and I asked it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's just, it's beautiful. And we're like, is there like going to be pushback? No.
I think I'm awesome.
It was one of the great meetings.
It was quite the flag planting.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk
flags!
About eggs. He went Les Grossman. Okay, flying dragon. Why don't you take a big, long step back and literally blank your own face? He went full Les Grossman. We don't negotiate with terrorists. Like, me and Buck are just sitting there looking
we're
at
like,
each other.
Oh.
We're like,
was not expecting that response.
We're like, we can do that? That's...
He is the oldest 50-year-old of all time. Like, he should be an 80-year-old man. Because that really is his personality.
It was great.
Text line says Ron Burgundy is impressed by Rop's level of apathy in meetings. That's about right.
Well, if you want to go all the way back to the greatness that is Isaac Ropp, this was, you can't get away with this nowadays.
Soul patch?
No, Rob? Well, he did have a soul patch. No, back in the day, we had there was a program director here that got a subscription to Playboy. Okay. And it would come to the station. And he ended up leaving, but the subscription went on for like another year and a half. So it would show up back when we had like a front desk and this guy was gone. His name was Dan. And so Rob would just go and take the Playboys.
Sure.
And we would sit in station meetings and we'd sit around the conference table. We used to have like kind of big station meetings. And Rob, as you said, Rob does like a chair twirl. When he's not interested, he just kind of sways back
and
forth.
He kind of leans back and he does the half spin from side
half
to side.
Spin. And Rob would sit in those meetings and he'd flip through Playboy.
And sometimes he puts his feet up for him, too.
It'd be like the girls of the Big Ten, and Rob's just flipping through. And you're sitting there, I'd have like a little, you know, like a little pad, like pretending to try to take some sort of notes. And you just look over there, and he's just flipping through.
Are you listening, Rob?
Nope. People think that's a facetious thing. It is not. I promise you, those are 100% real Isaac Ropp stories.
I've been in the middle of conversations that he started, where he started the conversation and we were talking about the topic that he started it on, and then in the middle he walked away.
Yeah, he'll lose his interest and has no shame in just expressing that by way of departure.
Oh, he'll leave. He is a master of it. We'd go down to like Pac-12 Media Days or a Rose Bowl or something, and so the media all congregates together. And unfortunately, a lot of the media likes to talk about media-related business.
And Rop wants the least to do with that of anybody there.
So then you encounter the two of us, and it just usually doesn't happen, and we're just kind of drinking. But I'll try to play along, you know, try to play nice.
Yeah, you'll be like, you know, I'll be one of the media guys today, sure.
No.
Not like, Rob.
We'll just be in, they'll be in the middle of a conversation, and Rob will just get up and walk away, and people are like, is he coming back? I'm like, yeah.
I don't think so.
No, he's just he's gone.
Wait, he's like, he's not just leaving, is he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is. Out. Yeah, that's the end of that. That reputation is well earned. Look, the man is, the man's a visionary. He is a one of one. He is our Ron Burgundy.
You have to respect
it. Suck it.
You just have to respect it because, like, okay, conversation.
Oh, I love
done.
When someone's like, "Is he?" The number of times, is he coming back? Yeah, no, no, he's coming back, right? He's not coming back. That's the end of that.
He's gonna go get him one of those Milwaukee butter
hugs. So one day, if Vegas does take him and he doesn't return,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Then he
probably did it on his terms.
He probably did it on his terms. I fully expect that one day.
Those Odyssey folks, they just don't do it for me anymore. No. I'm out.
Like a week or two will go by and no one will have heard anything. And we're like, is he gone? And we're like, I think he is. But he,
shove
this
that
time around,
straight up your little kid ass.
He should be fine. I'm back on Thursday.
Well, we do have a sports show that we're going to do today. We won't just talk about Isaac Rop. In fact, we'll probably stop talking about him for some time now. But we're going to talk a little bit more about some championship Sunday wrap-up. How do you actually go about beating the Chiefs, and should teams be more focused about that than their own rosters?
Because the new one now is, do we need to fire Sean McDermott?
I heard that last night. I wasn't going to ask that specific question. My question is more like, if you know that that's what it is that's out there that you've got to beat, what can you actually do about it? We'll have a conversation about that. And then what it takes to be a head coach in the NFL, a unique perspective from a dude who just did it, as well as some first impressions of the new NFL coaches. We've got some interesting sound bites to play, especially from one Liam Cohen, who kind of seems like a goofball. In the news today, is downtown Portland back? We've got some numbers that will tell a story.
Let's go, baby.
And how much money do you think you can get from a resort for getting hit by a snowmobile? That lawsuit is pending locally.
You know what? I'll tell you right now. I'll take a snowmobile.
Maybe not when you hear the extent of these injuries. We'll see.
Look, I feel like I'm pretty confident. I can, as long as I do a shoulder roll, a snowmobile isn't taking me out.
Yeah, I think
I'll take one of those.
I think this individual was one on skis when it happened, so they couldn't get out of the way. And
that's no good.
there was no shoulder roll. Let's just say that. In the club, can you sue a rideshare service for being too fat? Additionally, a man documents all of his spurned advances on his own wife and puts it on a spreadsheet. We can get into all of that. But coming up next, I want to talk a little bit more about Patrick Mahomes, how you stop him, and what other teams are supposed to do about it. It's primetime at SOB Edition on 1080 The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to an SOB edition of Prime Time. Souk, Ortner, and Buckley here. Isaac out in Las Vegas. He's supposed to be back on Thursday. Might mean that he's gone the rest of the week. We'll have to see about that. Going to get into our baseball bratwurst a little bit later as Souk and I are rewatching the highlights of the Game 7 of the Dominican League last night. That was absolutely electric. I know you have your own unique international baseball experiences. That was something fun.
If baseball wants to grow in the country, and look, baseball's fine, right? They make record revenue every year, but there's always talk of they want baseball to grab a bigger audience. Go look at international baseball. I'm telling you.
It's fun.
Watch. I've seen games in the islands. I've seen games in Mexico. I've seen games in Japan. I've seen games in Korea. They are infinitely more fun to be. Not even close. We could take a page out of any one of those leagues, and you would instantly make Major League. Now, not for old, crudgy white guys that would be pissed, but I'm telling you, that is a much better experience going to an international game. And the highlights coming out of the is that the Dominican League?
Yeah, the Dominican League. It's a 6-team winter league, and it was the final. It was Game 7 of that series. And when I saw the highlights last night, I first, and we'll get into this later. We'll play the clips and all that. But when I saw the highlights, I thought that the celebration was because it was a walk off.
Yeah,
it was still the top of the ninth inning. There was more game to be played.
Plenty of time.
They celebrated like it was Y2K. It was quite unbelievable. We will get into that a little bit later. But right now, I want to go back to conference championship weekend. And you referenced this question that people are bringing up today, which is a silly one. Should Sean McDermott be fired, or should John Harbaugh, who's not been able to get over the hump, get fired because they can't beat the Chiefs? And I don't know that that's a reasonable question to ask, but I do think after watching what Mahomes and Reed continue to do and only seeing them get toppled by the Bengals that one time, my question now becomes, if you're a team, at least in the AFC, it feels like so much of football is we're focusing on us. We're doing what we want to do. We want to dictate things.
Sure.
Here's how we want to be. But is there some part of you that needs to now start to engineer your team to be able to beat that team specifically? Or what do you do to compete with them? I know that's a really broad stroke question to ask because it doesn't seem as simple as, oh, just change your head coach or call a different play.
Sure. Like, first off, let's address the Sean McDermott stuff. Sean McDermott is a really, really good coach. And, you know, since he took over, the Bills are one of the winningest franchises in the NFL. Problem is they're running into a true dynasty, and this happens all the time. Like, again, go ask Karl Malone and John Stockton or Charles Barkley or any one of the other guys. You know, luckily for Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, Jordan retired. Like, sometimes you run into these people. Think about how many people would have Super Bowls if it wasn't for Tom Brady, right? So can we first address the fact that it's really hard to beat arguably the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL, right? If they finish this off and it's 4-what? It'd be 4 and 5 years or 4 and 6 years?
I think it'd be 4 and 6. Because they missed it 1 year, they lost one,
So 4 and 6, 3 in a row, never been done. Mahomes would have the greatest start to any quarterback in history, and really would already, after a short career, already be staking his claim to the greatest to ever do it. Certainly, I think if he wins this, you tuck him in behind Tom Brady. And I think a lot of people said if you had one game to win, I think people would take Mahomes over Brady. So we're in some really rarefied air here. So I always laugh when people ask, like, they make a big deal about, oh my God, like, what things do you have to do to beat this unbeatable team? It's like, how do you knock out Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali in its prime? First off, it's really effing hard. So let's acknowledge that it's not like you're going to do one or two things and instantly it's going to be done. But let's not also act in the same breath that Kansas City is just this juggernaut that under no circumstances can be stopped.
They're not this indomitable beast.
No.
Like you could beat them.
Buffalo lost that game by a matter of inches. San Francisco was driving to win that game last year in the Super Bowl. And what happened?
San Francisco also had a 10-point lead on them in the fourth quarter in a different Super Bowl.
And gacked it away, right? We've seen this. We've seen teams, the Buffalo Bills a couple years, when Josh Allen drove down and scored, that game was over, and there was, 19 seconds left? I think it was 17 or 19 seconds, and they went down and got into position for a field goal.
I think it was only 13.
Was it 13?
13.
Whatever it was. So, like, let's Let's not act like Kansas City is just mowing teams over and teams can't be competitive. The difference is what we were talking about yesterday, is the difference is in the margins. This is the most buttoned up, don't beat ourselves team, and then you have arguably the most special player of all time in Pat Mahomes. But we've seen different versions. A couple years ago, this whole new craze that everyone's running in the NFL right now of two high safeties, cover two, keep everything in front. Why did that come to be? Because they didn't want to play the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. Kansas City used to be this just high-flying, throw the ball downfield. Mahomes runs around and hucks the ball down to Tyreek Hill and Hardman and all these other speedsters, and teams were like, okay, you're not doing it on us anymore. We're playing too high. We're keeping everything in front. We're going to keep you in the pocket, and we're going to make you go 5 to 10 yards at a time. And Kansas City, for a while, kind of got bogged down with that. If you look at Mahomes' regular season numbers, they kind of have, they are not what they were back at the beginning of his career.
They've at least plateaued, if not dipped some.
Yes, teams have made it. And the beauty part about Kansas City is this is why Kansas City is the best organization, or the best, because their organization actually is not that great, but they have Andy Reid, they have a great GM, and they have
their front office.
Their front office. And so they got together and said, okay, well, we need to adapt what we're going to be. And they sat down with Patrick Mahomes and said, we're going to sacrifice some of the numbers and we're going to change the way you play. Think about that. They took the best quarterback in the NFL and said, we're going to do things differently. And he listened. Mm-hmm. And then they took the best receiver in the NFL and Tyreek Hill and said, sorry, man.
Can't afford you.
Can't afford you. You want to be paid like that. The game, by the way, is changing and teams are taking you away. Thanks for coming. Cool. We'll take our chances. And all they've done is won two Super Bowls since he left. And now they're in there for the third. So Kansas City keeps evolving and changing with the times.
And that, I think, is why you can't just be like, oh, well, we're going to fire our coach.
It
has less to do with the fact these other teams are running into what others perceive as the same wall. It's a different wall every time.
Yes. So I think the idea of how do you beat Kansas City, it's the same way you beat any really good team in the NFL. Like, there is a model, basically, on how to be a good franchise in the NFL. And the first one is... the first two components are good GM, good coach, mm-hmm. right? You have to have synergy between those two.
Yep.
You have to find an elite quarterback. Now, there are people that try to build with good quarterbacks. See Detroit, Seattle, Pittsburgh is trying to do this right now. New Orleans is trying to do it. Atlanta, Minnesota. So you can do that, but ultimately winning in this league
And how many teams are doing that successfully? At least like championship level successfully. They're not.
Not many. Once in a while it happens. Like Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. Trent Dilfer won one. But again, you're talking about
feels
historically.
Feels like recently it's either been, you know, the guy on the rookie contract still, or yeah. It's the other way.
So you find good GM, find good head coach, find elite quarterback, and then you draft really, really well. And you know, teams that do that, and by the way, Buffalo does this, Baltimore does this, the 49ers do this, a lot of good teams out there do this. And those are the teams that have become the competitors to the Kansas City Chiefs. And you are getting close to that. It's just that, you know, when it comes down to it, Kansas City is 2% better than all of those teams. And normally in the NFL, when you get these, we always say that when you win a lot of close games and you find ways to kind of eke these things out, you usually regress back to the average. And Kansas City is the one true outlier. And so this is just my working theory on it, is with Kansas City, you have what you have in a lot of these teams. You have an elite franchise with an elite coach, an elite GM. You look at the way they have turned over this roster and the guys that they have brought in smart free agency, by the way, not dumb overspending free agency, which we see like the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And they never reach for people in trades. They never give up a bunch of assets.
Yep.
But you look at everything from Bolton and Gay to Karlaftis to Snead to McDuffie to Xavier Worthy, to bringing in Kareem Hunt, to Edwards-Helaire, to Pacheco. They've rebuilt their offensive line three different times. These are all people that either came from the draft or in smart free agency moves that they picked up. Philadelphia is another one with this.
Yep.
They got Zach Bond this year, who was a cast-off no one gave a damn about.
Yep.
He's a defensive player of the year candidate,
yeah.
Right? You know, they go out and take Saquon Barkley. The Giants are like, you're beat up. You're kind of...
You're a little bit too expensive. We can't really use you the way we want to. And then Now he's like offensive player of the year.
Right. And then look at the way they've built their O-line and look at the draft they've had with Jalen Carter and Smith and all the Georgia players. By the way, they drafted two all-pro corners this year in Mitchell, the kid out of Toledo, and Cooper DeJean. Both of those guys, as rookies, are playing at Pro Bowl levels.
Yep.
Like, that's how you do it. So I don't think there's a big difference between the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Eagles and these teams. The difference is 15. the difference of why Kansas City, in my mind, keeps making the 2% more plays. Mahomes on one side and Spags. I think Spags does not get, you don't know, I'm talking about the Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. The last two Super Bowls, to me, are more about the Chiefs' defense than the Chiefs' offense. They have been a dominant defense, and their offense plays good enough. And then on third down and in big clutch moments, they turn to 15 and they say, hey, be Superman.
Yeah.
And he, more than any other player maybe in NFL history, he's the best third down, fourth down quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in big pressure moments, what does Spags do? They ran that pressure look against Buffalo. They ran that, I think, four times in that game and never brought the pressure once. And you know he sat there, Spags, all game and was like,
like
I'm
a tiger
just,
laying in wait. Just
I'm
waited
just
and waited and waited.
This.
Yep.
And the moment they needed it, he's like, here's a look you've seen a handful of times. Oh, and by the way, now I'm bringing it. He did it last year against the 49ers to close them out. All that guy does is dial that up. And so that's what I'm saying. It's the 2% difference. Is Mahomes light years better than Lamar and Josh Allen? No, but he is slightly better. Is Spags in the big moments slightly better than the other defensive coordinator, or in this case, the offensive mind coming up with schemes to stop him? Yes. Is Andy Reid, with time to prepare, one of the best coaches? So you have this weird confluence of events where you are just, you are 1 to 2% better in these three little key areas. And that's the difference. And you add those up, that's where you win in the margins. So this idea of what you do to beat Kansas City, you have to be better in the little attention to detail. And if I can point to any game in the that they've played close in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, and we can probably point to two or three plays, and if one of those plays gets made by the other team, we're not talking about this dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's to me, almost – it's impossible to say what do you need to beat Kansas City, because it's already there. You just need your team in those big moments,
yep,
to make one extra play. And we're talking about this differently. But that's how hard it is in the NFL to consistently make that one play. And that's why Kansas City maybe goes down as the greatest dynasty in modern NFL history, because they consistently do it. But
and as you've mentioned, they never make themselves vulnerable. It's always the other team,
yes,
that trips up first.
And they don't make dumb, they don't turn, yeah, the ball over. They don't have a lot of dumb penalties, right? And that goes back to they're just a buttoned up team.
Yep. Top to bottom. Well, now is as good a time as any to remind you that it is time to enter the Daily Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Entering is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 1080 The Fan or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. The winner of this national contest will receive travel and accommodations for four. That's the winner and three guests to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 in spending money. That's $5,000 for each of you to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Come back each day and listen for another hour to add another chance to win. Keep listening for more info or go to 1080thefan.com. Okay, coming up next, coaching carousel is big in the NFL right now. Still one vacancy, and actually some reports today about that one vacancy in New Orleans. But what it takes to be a head coach. One guy who was just recently an interim opened up at his first press conference. I want to get Sook's thoughts on that as we tee up some coaching carousel news, and then careen into In the News, the Hot 5 at 5, and our baseball bratwurst. That's all coming up a little bit later in the show. But first, Ortner has this SportsCenter update.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
I was thinking during the break, because we were talking about, like, what do you need to beat the Chiefs? And I don't believe that this isn't like the NBA or whatever, where you build the team specifically because you have to deal with a 7-footer.
Right.
Something that Kansas City does that's unique to just Kansas City. It's just football, right? But like, take a team like the Bills. And for the Bills to just keep repeating this over and over again, right? Some people may be like, that's insanity. But every year, every team tries to get better. That's why I think at the end of the year, I think it's interesting to take a look at teams and say, where do you go from here? Because when you don't win the Super Bowl, even if you do win the Super Bowl, you still, like, if Kansas City wins again this year, they're going to have to look at it and be like last year, right? They had to make it to Snead, Ladarius Snead, mm-hmm, and they had McDuffie.
Mm-hmm.
Snead wanted a bunch of money, and they were like, well, he's expensive, we can't. So you keep McDuffie, and then you get rid of Snead, and you trade him, and you know, you're constantly moving around. So, for instance, like with Buffalo, Buffalo was beat up in the secondary. No Taylor Rapp, and then when Benford went out, that kind of screwed Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, you know, those guys coming back, but they need to get more athletic in the secondary. They just do. Their two safeties, they were slow and plodding. DeMar Hamlin is not. He can't be starting for you. It's a great story. They need to go.
He was an inactive like half the time last season. He's not a game changer.
He's not a difference maker back there. And you know, we brought up Zach Bond with Philadelphia and the impact he's made. They signed him for a 1 year, $3.5 million contract. Van Ginkel came over to the Vikings on a 2 year, $20 million, $10 million. So Buffalo doesn't have a lot of cap space.
Well, and for Buffalo specifically, it's going to get harder because this year it's Josh Allen's cap hit is $43 million.
Yeah.
Next year it's $63 million. So it's going to get more difficult for the Buffaloes of the world.
So if you're Buffalo, you probably sign Allen to some sort of extension, right? You rework the contract. Push that money back because you're in a window right now. Free up some space for you. You need to probably hit. Again, let's take Philadelphia, who's also in the Super Bowl. Finding Mitchell and finding Cooper DeJean, find two Pro Bowl corners in the draft. I know that's kind of one of those silly things. But
like, funny enough, the Chiefs traded with the Bills up four spots to go get Xavier Worthy, 28th yes. overall pick.
And he ended up being a big difference maker for you. So when you're a team like this and you're strapped for cash and you already kind of have your roster, the draft becomes, believe it or not, even more important than teams that are trying to kind of, like the Raiders, for instance, or you know that team that really does need a lot of help. Yeah, hitting draft picks are important, but you have to do that year after year after year. For a team like Buffalo, the difference between drafting two or three guys that can come in and can play right away, look at the Lions and what they've done on their defense when they drafted Aiden Hutchinson and they drafted Terrion Arnold. And they hit on draft picks. And yep. Jack Campbell, they hit on guys that immediately came in. Gibbs.
Well, and then like a Van Ginkel or like a Bond, they went and they signed Anzalone, who was
a piece, and he turned out to be a huge piece for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're Buffalo, you're going to look at this and say, where is our weakness? We probably need to be more dynamic on the outside. We need to get a receiver. Can't pay to go out and get a free agent receiver. So again, do we draft him or do we find a guy that fits our system? Definitely need to get more athletic on the back end. Von Miller can no longer be the closer. Can you go out and find someone that can rush the passer? I also think you could probably use a little bit of linebacker depth because both of your linebackers were beat up this year and neither one of them was quite the player they were at the end of the season. So you take a look at all those things and that's every team in the NFL that reevaluates where you're going. And that's where I say margins. None of those things are going to be done that are going to be these big sweeping moves. Buffalo does not have the ability to go out and make any sort of big splashy moves. They just don't with their cap situation. So it's going to come down to draft picks and sneaky free agent moves where we look at it and be like, dude, we brought him in for $4.5 million.
You got to find the deal that fits.
And that guy ended up being a second team, you know, like all pro. It's finding that guy that fits what you do in your system and then having some of the young guys grow and develop. Like they got Cole Bishop out of Utah. Does he take a big jump and become the Eric Weddle of that
And he
team?
Almost had the play of the game. He was going close. up for grabs with Worthy on that ball that they said Worthy caught that looked like he had it first.
Can you find the Jared Verse in this year's draft? If you put Jared Verse, who just was an absolute beast for the Rams, and again, I get it. You find a phenomenal player, but if you put Jared Verse on this Bills team, that may be the guy that gets you over the hump. If you find a dynamic secondary player that was able to be a shutdown corner or a great safety, maybe that play to Worthy doesn't happen in the second half. That's the margins, and those are the sort of players that Kansas City has brought in that maybe aren't the brand names that you think of, but always seem to come up with the biggest plays at the biggest times.
I do think it is important to mention, too, with the Bills, like, I think the moves they made last year put them in a closer spot so that the margins are that much thinner. Like, remember,
agreed.
They got rid of old wide receivers on the outside.
Yes.
And
yep.
Keon Coleman is already in-house. That is a guy that could potentially turn into
that outside threat
you were looking for.
Yep.
Shakir, this last year, took a big jump forward in that slot
Absolutely.
Spot.
They took a swing at right. Cooper, didn't really work out. He's a guy that...
He's
you know,
old.
He thought he was going to come in and be a big factor for him. He wasn't.
But so. You know who was? Cook. out of the backfield, a guy that you didn't necessarily think you were going to be. Like, they were a live on explosive plays and kind of die by it, too, if Josh throws a bunch of interceptions. And they changed that style. They lean more into that big offensive line, letting guys like Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins just, like, run roughshod through guys, right? And then leaning on James Cook. James Cook averaged 8 yards a touch in that game. And so I think that's why there's a lot of, like, complaint on why he didn't get more touches on that final drive. But I do think that the Bills have shown that they can make those moves and those tough decisions. I mean, they got rid of a lot of their secondary that was old. Now, not everybody hit, but they are closing in on the margins. It just feels like they're either one player taking that next step. It could be Coleman. Maybe it's Dalton Kincaid in that tight end spot. Or is it finding that one player in the draft that can be that pass rusher or that defensive back? They're clearly willing to make the moves as opposed to other teams that have decided not to make any moves and are just going to eventually die out once their players get too old.
The Bills, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Niners before this year, they're right there. It's just, can you find the one or two things that put you over? And you're right. I thought the Bills did a great job this year of saying, okay, and everyone criticized Buffalo. Like, everyone wanted to bury him because they got rid of their receivers.
They made necessary adjustments that were counter to what a lot of people thought they needed, and it worked out really well for them.
And they just said, hey, we're going back. We're going to become a power team. We're doing that six-man offensive line a lot. We're going to keep Josh Allen kind of on reins and not have him throw the ball 45 times and make dumb interceptions. And lo and behold, this was a great version of the Bills that, you know, I think if they play that game 10 times, they probably win 4 of them, maybe 3. I mean, Kansas City, again, I mean, proof's in the pudding, but they played twice this year, and both of those games came down to one final drive, right? And on the regular season, Josh Allen made the play to close out the game, and on this one, they were 1 inch away and in a tough catch away. So,
yep. You know, 1 inch away twice, maybe.
Yeah. So they just be careful with the, we need to make sweeping changes when you're literally a foot and a half away. A couple times. Tweaks, not major restructural changes, because
you don't need to burn it all down.
No, the only team that's ever really done that that's been successful is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tony Dungy built the Buccaneers into a really good team and didn't feel like he had the offensive chops to get him over the top. And they went out and got John Gruden, and Gruden got into a Super Bowl. And then after that, they did nothing, but it did get him a Super Bowl. They were a team that was successful that decided to flush it and try something different. And that doesn't happen very often, but, you know, give credit where credit's due. Gruden did take Dungy's team and get him over the hump.
Well, as the coaching carousel turns, one former interim coach spoke up today about truth-telling and what it takes to be a head coach in the NFL. I'll get those comments next. Listen to Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Love a little speed wagon.
Can't say that I ever went to full speed wagon. It was more of a, it's in movies, you know? You see them in movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know Sandler's a big speed wagon fan, and, like, you know, those 80s movies, but I can't say that I've ever purposely sat down and listened to REO Speedwagon.
It was kind of in the John Buckley light classic rock mix among, my dad listened to a lot of bands like that, so, like, your Toto's, your Speedwagon, Boston, stuff like that.
My dad was more of a, I'd say probably the most, like, contemporary Billy Joel, and then we'd get, like, John Prine and more folk kind of pickers, Gordon Lightfoot,
sure, yeah,
if you will. And then we got into, like, the Johnny Cash. In case you dip into, like, the Who, maybe.
Okay.
But my dad wasn't a big rock and roll guy. He was more of a... He's the guy that would do, like, if you say something bad in a song, you'd be like, oh, I don't like that. We don't need to work blue here, boys. But I got exposed on some of those road trips around Alaska. We had a sweet light blue, like, 79 Suburban, split tail in the back.
Oh, nice.
And we were with the Navajo blanket seats.
Uh-huh.
And a sweet tape deck and a lot of...
Those old Suburbans ruled.
One of my goals is to go find one of those and, like, redo it.
Yeah.
Just the one that we had growing up, because that's where we drove all over Alaska in.
Yeah.
I'd love to find one of those and, like, actually modernize it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just cruise around in that thing.
Yeah.
That's always one of those, like, whenever I go down to Barrett Jackson, I've never bought anything.
Like, if I saw one, though.
Yeah, because those things, like, dude, you can buy one of those down there for, like, $25,000.
Yeah.
There are times where, like, if the exact one... if that's that model and that blue color,
if the time and moment were right,
yeah, you could probably get me a nostalgia, and it would be a completely moronic purchase because I have no reason to take it anywhere. I don't. We have an SUV. We have a modern Bronco. My kids don't go anywhere with me. 99% of the time in the car is just me. So why would I need a Suburban that gets like 6 miles to the gallon
and seats eight?
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. I just. The idea of driving around, again, listening to some Gordon Lightfoot, some John Prine.
I like it.
I could do that.
Well, let's go ahead and get back on the clock. We can get to these Jeff Ulbrich comments later. When I think of Jeff Ulbrich, I always think of him screaming at Jim Mora Jr. Or on the sideline at UCLA. Yeah. But yeah, those guys both have some red ass in them. Jeff Ulbrich wasn't long for that New York Jets job. Obviously, they turned to Aaron Glenn for it. But I did think that what he said about his time as the interim head coach was really important, and he talked about that at his new gig in Atlanta, where he's the DC now, and we'll get to those comments coming up next. Plus, the coaching carousel, first impressions, and what needs to happen for some of these coaches to be successful where they are.
One of them might be the most confounding hire that I can ever remember. Well, no, that was Jim Tomsula. The second most confounding hire that I've ever seen in the 20 years I've been doing this.
It's coming up next, Hour 2 of Primetime, 1080 The Fan.